And so we want to share this morning a very familiar passage of Scripture, and that is in John 3:16. So we want to share a few thoughts this morning, but I do appreciate you being here. I also got word that Sister Lisa is trying to be sweet to Michael since it's his birthday. So we'll see how that goes. I'll get a report from Michael this week, and we'll see how that goes. But that's what I just got the note handed, that she was trying. So that's important that we try things. Anyway, John 3:16, it's a verse that many, if not all of us, know by heart. We can quote it. That is one verse that I can't even remember learning. And the reason I say I can't remember learning it is because it's always been in my mind. I can't, you know, there's passages, different passages that I know, that I remember, okay, I focused on that verse, or I focused on a particular passage. Maybe it was during, when I was in school, or maybe it was even in Bible school, or a different message that was preached. But I literally cannot remember, learning this verse. But this verse is more real in my life now than what it was when I learned it. And the reason that I say it's more real is because every day that goes by, I'm even more overwhelmed by the love of God. Because this love that He shares for every one of us, I could have never earned it. And the older I get, the more that I realize, you know, you grow up in life and you think about, well, I do this and I get this. It's kind of like working a job. You work a job, you get a wage. But when it comes to the love of God, there's nothing that we can do to cause Him to love us any more than what He does. We cannot be bad enough for Him to stop loving us. And that's how wonderful His love is. Because when it comes to people sometimes, when it comes to love of human, meaning people, there's people that fall in and out of love all the time. Maybe an act, or maybe there's something that someone does that causes different feelings. But I'm grateful for this morning that not God. We want to read this verse to you this morning, and I trust that you read with me. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you show us your love every day. We thank you for the real evidence of your love by Jesus Christ going on to the cross and paid our sin debt. Help us to leave this place this morning loving you just a little more. We know you could never love us anymore because you love us your way that you understand. But help us to leave this place loving you more. We thank you for having a building that we can worship this morning, even though it's a different place. We're glad that your love is unchanging, that no matter where we are, we can still feel your presence and we can still feel your love. We ask your blessings on those that are here, the prayer request. If someone doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you'll help them. And Lord, we do have a desire to love you more. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How can a person say anything about this verse that most haven't already said? Why is this verse looked upon as one of the greatest in the Bible? One reason could be that in these 25 words, it gives us the complete survey of God's redemption. Another reason is it gives us the theme of God's wondrous love. There's nothing that can be added that hasn't already been said by many others. However, this morning, our desire is to allow our hearts to be opened to the love of God even more than it already is. That's our desire. I don't think that we could ever love God enough, and our love should always be changing towards Him. Because I can tell you firsthand, when I first accepted Christ as my personal Savior, that I can say, I love you, Lord. But now, many, many years later, I can honestly say, Lord, I love you. Because of all the things that's happened in my life, because of all the things that He's helped me with, and because me feeling His presence, and mostly because I understand, and although I don't understand in its entirety, I appreciate His mercy, His grace, His patience, His long-suffering, His gentleness, His correcting hand, and just simply who He is. What kind of love is God's love? Well, I think that we can see that in the very first portion of this verse that says, for God so loved the world. What kind of love is this? Well, let me share with you just a few things that I think that we can focus on this morning, that we can try to do our best to wrap our minds around and our hearts around. And that is this. It's a divine love. His love is a divine love. It's God who loved the world. And we know it's not the world loves God, but it's that God loves the world. You see, the only love that we might understand is a human type of love, as a mother or a father loves a child before the child is even born. As a couple joins together in matrimony, and how they spend time together and they love each other and their love grows. As a child growing up even loves a pet. You see, there's things that we can understand about love, but when it comes to God's divine love, it's very complex, but yet it's very simple. Because it's God that's doing the loving. God is the only one here doing the loving, for God is love. You see, I can't say that I loved God before He loved me, because the Bible talks about God loving us first. And so in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, but for God is love. You see, God was the first to begin love. God is the first to even acknowledge love. And that's why it's a divine love. And I'm grateful for that divine love. I'm grateful that there's nothing that I can do that's going to cause God to love me any less. That's going to cause God to love me anymore, because we change. Our lives change. Situations change. Circumstances change. We're in a different place this morning, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't love us just as much. You see, there's things that's changing all around us, but the Bible says that God is love. And the fact that God's love never changes. So it's a divine love. And these are simple characteristics about His love. And the second is, it's an unspeakable love. We not only read that God loves the world, as the verse says, for God so loved the world, but there's a word that I want to point out in that, for God so loved the world, and that is the word so. So. The word shows the word so shows its intensity. You know, there are words that we can say that are very intense. There are actions that we can take that are very intense. You know, sometimes when you read a letter or when you read an email or when you read a text and someone says something, you can't really truly understand the context. You know, for instance, if I was going to send someone a text, let's go to dinner tonight, then you know there's an invitation there, but the unanswered question is who's going to buy? Because usually when you invite someone to dinner, then generally the one that's doing the inviting is the one that's doing the buying. So what I'm saying is, it's sometimes hard to understand. Let me stop right here just a minute. Now, if someone has invited somebody to dinner or to lunch after church, that's between y'all who's going to buy, okay? I don't want to cause a split because I said that about that. So let's get back. But the point is, when you read the verse that says, "But God so loved the world," then that's a pretty intense word. That's a pretty intense word. Nowhere does the Bible attempt, and I was thinking about this as I wrote this down, nowhere in the Bible does the Bible attempt to define God's love. It only illustrates God's love. Throughout the Bible, we know that the Bible says God loves and that God is love, but it doesn't try to explain it. It just illustrates it. And there's illustrations all through the Bible that expresses His love. And that's why it's so intense when we're talking about the intensity of God's love and the realization of God's love and the importance of God's Word or God's love. Ephesians 4:19, the Bible says, "To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge." I like to try to understand things. When something happens, we try to understand why it happens, and you try to do your own kind of investigation as to how something happens, and you try to come up with your own conclusion, the best of your ability, even though there might be some errors in there. There might be some errors. But when the Bible says His love passeth all knowledge, I don't think we can ever truly comprehend God's love this side of eternity. But there are people in heaven today that is experiencing God's love, and I believe that they understand God's love because of what they received. I believe that's when the understanding comes. We just try to understand with our feeble minds the best we can. We just try to understand as much as we can understand. But I believe it's important for us to realize that God loves you. No matter what's done in your life, God loves you. I was talking to someone the other day and they were talking about their past. And they said, "Well, do you feel any different about me about your past?" And I said, "Absolutely not." Because truth be known, every one of us have a past. Every one of us have things in our life that we've made mistakes in, some worse than others, I guess you would say in the earthly sense. But in reality, God still loves them, so why shouldn't I? Another aspect or characteristics of God's love is that it's eternal. God's love is eternal. When did His love begin? Have you ever thought about that? When did His love begin? Do you realize that God knew what day you would be born? God knew who your parents would be. God knew, and I don't know if sometimes I have a sister that listens, and she was the first, but God knew on the sixth opportunity, I would be born. God knew. Because God knew every sister that I had. And God knew everything that there was, everything that there is, and just like He did you. You see, that's what's so wonderful about this eternal love is His love. When did it begin? Think about all the people in the world, no matter how good, no matter how bad, and I can tell you, based upon what the Scripture says, God loves them all. God loves them all. He doesn't love us when we're good. He doesn't hate us when we're bad. He just loves us all the time. You see, that's why I think we can fall in love with Him even more. Because it doesn't have anything with our goods and our bads, because He knows that we're going to be good and we're going to be bad. But I will say this, and I will stress this, although God loves the person, God doesn't love sin.
Amen.
God doesn't love sin. But it's about the person. And it's about Jesus Christ coming into a person's heart, because God loved you so much that Jesus died for your sins. I've already shared it with before. I just want to make another reference to it, and that is this. It's an unmerited love. It's an unmerited love. We think about God's love, and we are reminded of how unmerited His love truly is. Because the Bible, and it shows us that in this verse. The first part of this verse says, for God so, when we mention so, love, and then think about this world, this word, and that is the word world. We think about God's love, and we're reminded of the fact that it's unmerited, because let me tell you something, based upon what we see, the world doesn't love Him, but He still loves the world. How did God show His love? Or how does God's love show itself? We see that continuation in this verse. He gave His only begotten Son.
Yes.
He gave His only begotten Son. What a gift that He gave to us in His Son. What gift did He give? What gift could He give that was more powerful than His Son, Jesus Christ? There is no gift more powerful than Him giving His Son. Let's think about that just for a minute. The Bible says that He gave. Let's change kind of aspects instead of the characteristics. Let's kind of apply it to our hearts and to our lives this morning. And let's call this, it was a practical love. Practical, because He gave. His love expressed itself by the gift that was giving. And see, love is giving. You see, by Him giving His Son, and we understand that we sing and we talk about that God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. But we must never lose the understanding, yes, He sent His Son, but He gave His Son. He gave His Son. You see, love is giving. The proof that God loves the world is that He gave His Son to be our Savior. For all that receive Him. The word gave shows the action by giving. The word gave shows an action by giving. He not only sent His Son, but He gave His Son. And that's why we call this a practical love, because He was the one doing the giving. But I need to be reminded, or I need to remind everyone this morning, that when a gift is given, for it to get its full value, it must be received. It must be received. If I was to give you a gift, then you would have to receive that gift. And you would have to take that gift. And you would have to open that gift. And you would have to, you would literally have to pull that gift out of the box, whatever it may be, and then it becomes yours. We must receive that gift. You see, if I was to give you a gift today, if I was to give you a gift and just hand it to you, and you never open it, then it would just be sitting there. Oh, the gift would still be there, but you would never have received it. There are many people today that know the truth of God's love, but until they receive it, it's never really real. And I don't think she would mind saying this, but Sister Cheryl Holt's brother, who went home to be with the Lord, you know, a few weeks ago, we couldn't have said that. He knew the truth. He had been talked to multiple times about salvation. He had been talked about multiple times about receiving Christ. But it wasn't until recent days that he said yes to Jesus and he received him. That's when that gift become real. That gift was presented in multiple ways by multiple people at multiple times. But it wasn't until that gift was received that it became real. See, just knowing is not believing. Meaning believing that Jesus died for your sins and receiving that gift. Let me tell you something else about the love. When it talks about it's practical, but it's also unique. God's gift was His only begotten Son. You know, if God had, let's just say hypothetically, if God had several children, if he would have sent one of them, it still would have been a sacrifice. But the way our human minds think, he would have still had several others. So it would have still been a sacrifice, but he'd have still had several others. But the realization of Jesus Christ and His only begotten Son was Jesus Christ was the only one, and Jesus Christ was given for you and for me. You see, that's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." In other words, He had to give His Son. What a gift. It's also a sacrificial love. God not only sent His Son, but He sent His only Son. He gave His all. Think about the great cost that was made for you and for me. Think about that great cost. I don't know that we could comprehend in our feeble minds. I don't know that we can comprehend the great cost that was given. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "For He hath made Him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." The purpose of His love is this, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, this verse tells the story of God's love. This verse tells a complete story of how much He loves us, how much He wants, what He did in the action of His love, where He gave His Son, and the end result is that we believe, that whosoever believeth. See, what a sacrificial love. And I like that word, and I know many of you have heard this, but I love the word, whosoever. Whosoever. Because it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we live in our own little world. Sometimes we think just in our own little box of whatever that is with our family and, you know, workplaces and those type of things. And do you realize that there's people in the world that we'll never, ever meet, that will never know their backgrounds, will never know their history. We'll never know who they are. There's not anything that we're going to know. But I can tell you, based upon what the Bible says, God loves them just as much as He loves us. Whosoever. The blessing through it all. And the hope that we have this morning is this. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, we're dealing with change this morning by meeting here in the fellowship hall. Do you realize that one day, all of us that are saved, we don't know when, but do you realize that all of us are going to be together in another place? Our minds can't comprehend, because many times we think of the day to day, the minute to minute, the hour to hour, the week to week, and so on and so forth. But can you imagine? And I think I would rest assured, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back first and we're looking for Him, I think I could probably safely say that in 100 years from now, we that are saved are all going to be together. And that is a blessing. And it all revolves around, for God so loved the world. We have hope this morning because of this great love. And I don't think we'll truly understand it this side of eternity. But our desire this morning should be that we leave this place loving Him just a little bit more. Yes. Loving Him just a little bit more. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And Lord, how our minds and our hearts can't wrap around Your love. But You show us through Your illustrations in God's Word. You show us in our lives by the Holy Spirit living in us, that You do love us. And Father, as we have this invitation, we know it's in a different place, but Lord, if there's someone that just wants to thank You for this love, thank You for what You've done, thank You for all that You've done, and maybe we just want to get a little closer to You, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they'll come and kneel or stand or even sit on these front pews. And just simply saying, thank You, Lord, for Your great love. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to hearts this morning and that You'll take the Word of God and it'll intertwine in our minds and in our hearts that You really do love us. And Lord, You know our hearts, and sometimes we don't feel loved. Sometimes we struggle with life and we struggle with the cares of this life, but Lord, we know that You do love us. We ask Your blessings on this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen.